Thank you very much. I don't know whether I should start afresh or I should proceed where I left.
I think you can just start afresh, just to remind us and point us to the heading.
Okay.
Because that's what I picked up is that the your background. I'm sorry. Yes, your background was not pointing to this, so that we are able to to understand. If you can just quickly do that, and then we go straight to the presentation.
Okay. After this opening remarks, I'll give it to Mr. Mahlangu to proceed with the presentation. Let me start afresh as the chairperson has allowed me to. The purpose of the report is to brief the Portfolio Committee on the Department of Labor, or on the Department of Employment and Labor, on the work done by the Unemployment Insurance Fund Board for the year 2018-19. Background. Before I delve into the main issues of the report, I just want to thank the Portfolio Committee for inviting the UIF Board to engage on matters of oversight on UIF performance on all the fronts. These include service delivery progress, financial performance, audit outcomes, organizational performance and performance information, risk management, poverty alleviation, and governance. The invitation came at a time when the UIF Board is grappling with a number of issues relating to oversight, especially its advisory role as compared to an executive role. The Board is also interested in the relationship with the Public Investment Corporation, PIC, which is the institution responsible for the UIF investment portfolio, asset management of ours. Oversight is important, especially during times when organizations are exposed to all forms of corruption, poor audit outcomes, and irregular expenditures, and general poor governance. As UIF Board, we are alive to our good work and shortcomings as well. The key ones speak to an inconsistent audit outcomes, where the institution seems to move from good to bad audit outcomes, almost reflecting an organization not sure how they achieved the good outcomes in the first place. Our efforts as a board is to lift the standards of governance, accountability, financial sustainability, and taking care of the workers as seen in the UIF Act as amended, which improves the benefits due to the workers but also introduces an instrument for UIF to intervene in ensuring that jobs are preserved and workers introduced back into employment. We're now on the focus area. We're starting with the service delivery progress, vacancy rate. Over the years, UIF has been processing claims within 35 working days. As a board that is interested in social and administrative justice, we have sought to ensure that workers enjoy their benefits when they are due. To this end, we have supported management in reducing the turnaround time from 35 working days to 20 working days. This target has been surpassed, where 94% of benefits are paid within 20 days and even less. One of the key constraints of service delivery is the availability of competent and skilled workforce. The board has raised the matter with the UIF Executive Committee over the months. The matter has been on the radar of the board due to the high rate of unemployment in the country and how the capacity could improve the delivery of the much-needed services to the people. Slide 15 is a reflection of some of the issues we have raised with the UIF management and the progress made. in the presentation that we have, there is slide 15, and it's against that, and we'll allow Mr. Masango to go through that as well when he presents. Financial performance. On the financial position of the fund has remained stable over the years, starting with collection of contributions of 16 billion in 2014-15 and rising up to 19.5 billion in 2018-19. The growth in the contribution is attributed to salary increases during negotiations and improved return on investment. That is in slide 11, financial performance. Slide 12 and 13 shows an indication of the impact of the reviewed benefit structure recommended by the board to the minister. This has seen an increase in benefit payments from 7 billion in 2014-2015 to 10.9 billion in 2018-19. Workers are now able to enjoy UIF benefits for a long period and have a longer time within which to apply for benefits. The board saw it fit to ensure that workers are supported during the time of need. The audit outcomes. It's available on 21 and 29, that one. The board has noted with the concern the audit opinion expressed by the Auditor General of South Africa. Since the UIF obtained a disclaimer in 2016-17, has monitored the UIF audit metrics action plan through governance structures, especially the risk committee and the audit committee. The tight monitoring resulted in UIF obtaining an unqualified audit opinion in just 12 months, but unfortunately 12 months later there was a regression. It's concerning to the board that 1 year UIF received a disclaimer, another unqualified, and now qualified, to an extent that the board took a decision to engage the PIC board directly, given the intimate knowledge the board has on the issues leading to the qualification. The board-to-board meeting took place on the 11th of October, which is just last week, and was a successful one where boards committed to specific actions which will lead to an improved audit opinion. That was the board of the UIF and the board of the PIC. We met and we had to share and move forward and take resolutions together. UIF management has put together an action plan to address the audit findings and improve the control environment at UIF. Governance, slide 16 to 19. The year 2018-19 was one of the busiest for the board. A number of issues presented themselves and required an immediate and decisive reaction from the board. The investment portfolio was showing signs of decline, especially in the socially responsible investment space, particularly Steinhoff. The amount involved required action and intervention from the board, which was granted. Edcon was on the brink of shutdown with 10,000 jobs on the line and a further 100,000 downstream at risk. The Edcon was the Edcon matter came to the UIF board, and the board acted swiftly to intervene and save jobs. Organizational performance and performance information, slide 8 to 9. UIF performance has slightly improved from 58% the previous year to 63% for the 2018-19 financial year. The main driver towards a slight improvement was the change in turnaround time from 35 days to 20 days. As a board, we are watching the performance closely. We are relieved that during the Auditor General's review performance, information was found to be above board. This is attributed to the role played by the internal audit as an assurance provider before Auditor General South Africa. And slide 9 is a reflection of the progress made by the date on some of the areas that had affected the performance of UIF. We anticipate an improved performance for the year 2019-2020, as most of the issues that we had identified have now been addressed. We will continue with our oversight, emphasizing better internal controls and close monitoring of performance by management. We come to the labor activation interventions. The Department of Employment and Labor, through the Unemployment Insurance Fund, has partnered with about 32 state-owned training providers and institutions to implement training of UIF beneficiaries. The intention is to pilot the project with training of over 160,000 learners over a period of 3 years. The training will vary from skills program to learnership to artisans. The projected budget for the intervention is estimated at 7.9 billion over the period of 3 years. Through this intervention, 6,000 artisans will be trained at the cost of over 800 million. Learnership will take about 67,000 learners at an estimated cost of 3.7 billion. There are 400 of the claimants who have skills and need to be assisted with certification through recognition of prior learning at a cost of 15 million rand. A further 81,000 of the learners will be taken through the skills program at a cost of about 2.5 billion to enable them access to training and possible job placement. The final leg is the introduction of enabling entrepreneurship through enterprise development and training. Just over 1,400 will be trained in this area with the intention of absorbing trainees from the programs and linking to the market. At quarter one, 20,000 people are in training, with over 75% being young people and more than 50% of the total being women. The intervention is expected to grow over time to an extent that as and when a claimant visits the Department of Employment and Labor to claim for unemployment, an opportunity will be ready for the claimants to link up the benefit payment with training, thereby to reduce cost on paying stipends. Yes, and I would like to end up there and give an opportunity to Mr. Mashangu to proceed with the mission, if you allow me.
Chairperson, thank you very much, and we really appreciate as the board of UIF to be here and to report about what we have done, what we were unable to do, and what we have done with that which we are unable to do. And I'm going to try as much as I can, Chair, to avoid repeating my chairperson. However, I want to start on page 9 and just deal with the variances and action plan which has been taken in terms of the non-achieved targets. In terms of the percentage of vacancy rate reduced, Chairperson, you can confirm that while that has been a challenge, however, the action that we have taken was to make sure that we appoint those 32 call centers. And in the first quarter of 1920, we have already achieved that. If you look on the number of provincial sites upgraded with Wi-Fi access, the service provider has been appointed as of March this year, and for the first quarter, that work has been implemented. Moving further, Chairperson, with regard to integrated claims management system, we are also We have also revised that target to roll it over to 2019 APP of the UI, to the extent that a partner has been appointed to make sure that they work with the system design. Chairperson, with regard to a number of newly registered employers, the system to stabilize the data center, as we have moved into choose online registration, this we think that is going to be achieved. But the issue here, Chair, is to make sure that all employers register in UIF and make sure that therefore they deduct contributions and match those contributions to make sure that in the event of unemployment, these workers are able to enjoy unemployment insurance benefits. With regard to number five, which is the percentage of applications with complete information, we have maintained strategies that we have put in place to ensure that month-to-month performance is in order and that we will move towards our own annual target. And Chair, I want to now take you over to the financial report, because I will not read everything but highlight key issues. Safe to say on slide number 11, which is the financial report, without repeating what the chairperson has said, if you look under 2014-15 financial year and 2018-19 financial year, there's been a growth in the fund, and I think the chairperson has reported in terms of what is the contribution. The contribution is that, one, you have huge assets in the fund, but two, to the extent that there are increases in the incomes of workers, that has give rise to those contributions. Moving to the next page, Chair, on slide number 13, we're basically providing details of, if you look at 2014-15 and 2018-19, we give the income and the expenditure of the fund. And I just need to explain here, Chairperson, that you'll recall that UI has amended the new benefits, improved benefits to members, one of which was paternity benefits, maternity, and illness benefits. So those benefits are new benefits, and we have worked very closely with the actuary of the fund to make sure that while there's increase in benefits, we're not going to have a situation where at some point there's going to be a deficit like in 1996, which takes me to the point of 1996, where this fund was in a huge deficit. It was at that stage, Chairperson, where a decision was taken by NATLEC Social Partners that on resignations, benefits are not going to be paid. But this new amendment, a decision was taken in NATLEC that once it's in place, we'll have to go back to NATLEC and say, what do we do with resignations or workers who are resigning because they are not paid benefits as we speak? So it's correct, Commissioner, to say we may talk about a huge surplus in the fund, but part of that we must disclose to honorable committee members that it may be benefits of those workers who contributed in the fund, but because by law they've resigned and therefore they cannot pay benefits, is part of their benefits, and we're going to take care of that in NATLEC at some point. Chair, if we move...
Sorry, Mr. Mashlam, can you repeat that?
What I'm saying, Chair, is that workers who are resigning and they've been members of UIF, if you resign voluntarily, you are not paid benefits. Why? Because in 1996, honorable members, when this fund was in a huge deficit, a decision was taken collectively, let us pay all benefits except for voluntary resignations. The assumption, Chairperson, was that if you resign, maybe you have other greener pastures. But what I'm reporting before you, Chair, is that to the extent that these benefits have been improved, a decision was taken in that like that, we must go back and look at that element to make sure that those workers now are taken care of. In other words, we have to amend the law to make sure that those who resign are also able to apply for their benefits. That's the point I was making, Chairperson, with your permission. Chair, if I may move to organizational structure and engagement, which is your page 14, but I'll focus, I think, on page 15. I will talk to what has been the challenges and what have we done, etc. There's been a concern about a lack of capacity in the lab, which is your lab activation plan. What have we done? We have reviewed the structure. We have employed 9 interns. 2 contract positions were brought on board, and we have brought resources to make sure that the project management office is able to take our work forward. We have also, based on the fact that there were concerns which were identified by the board with regard to skills in the institution, that we have said, let's do an audit to see if our structure is fit for purpose. In other words, we have employees and senior management down to whatever to make sure that all of us in UI are able to say, yes, we can, within our organizational structure, take this this institution forward in making sure that we deliver. And with regard to the lack of capacity within the finance and investment, we shall come back to the PIC. We have made sure that we employed investment consultants which are working on with us, but they are not only working with us, Chair. They are working with us internally to make sure that they transfer skills to our internal staff to make sure that later our finance department is able to run without utilizing outside consultants. So this basically was just to make sure that we built internal capacity. Now, if you look above there, the vacancy rate was 13.2%, but as a result of all of these interventions, that was taken down to 8.3%, Chairperson. The next page then talks to governance. That indicates to you the number of meetings we've had as a board, the number of meetings from the committees, and I just want to focus on the special committee meetings, which I'm going to deal with that in the next pages. Chair, when we were asked to intervene on EDCON, there was nothing to refer to as UI. We had to make sure that that which we do, make sure that it's within the letter, is within the law, and we make sure that we understand that intervening in EDCON, we're not going to create another problem somewhere. So we had few special board meetings, but one or two of the special board meetings was with the board addressing the issues of the finance of the board. Moving to the next page on the performance of the board, you can see, Chairperson, that as a result of our intervention on EDCON, a high social impact fund was established, which before was not there. What was the intention? The intention was that because by law we are requested now to do two things, to retain jobs and create decent jobs, that we will have to, within the investment performance, create a portfolio which we have called a high social impact portfolio, which represent about 2% of the total assets of the fund for this financial year at 3 billion rand, to make sure that if we have situations like EDCON, we are able to carry out our duties as part of complying with the law without necessarily scrambling around and saying, because we have invested our assets in different portfolios, where are we going to get the money, etc. It was an intervention, deliberate intervention, which is within the scope also of the Presidential Job Summit of October last year, that we played that role, and we have played our role in so far as that is concerned, Chairperson. So it was ECON, we have the PDP, there is an issue of training unemployed to preserve and address the issues of unemployment, etc. I just want to correct one thing that the Chairperson raised earlier on. He said we had to save 10,000 jobs. Actually, we saved 100,000 jobs, Chairperson. Now, if you say one worker supports an average of four family members, that takes you to 1.4 million people who we are able to make sure that we intervene and they are able to have something to eat on a daily basis. But more importantly, that means that the jobs we have saved, those members are able to continue to contribute in UIF. That will talk to sustainability of UIF moving forward, which then will not see some deficit at some point, and talking to job creation, etc. Now, we have identified a challenge which we want to bring to the attention of the committee, which we are going to deal with ourselves, but it's something that we want to highlight. What do we do with directors who run down their own companies and run to UIF and say, by the way, there's a high social impact fund in UIF, let's run it down and run to UI. If they don't, we'll hold a gun in their neck and say, if you don't, you're going to lose jobs. It's one thing that we say, Deputy Minister, honorable members, let's engage in this thing so that it can't be correct that we are not saying for a second that is the case now, but we are saying it may lead to those unintended consequences, and we need to make sure that when we talk about consequence management, it's across the board. So that's the issue we are raising, Chairperson. Now I want to take you to the next page, which is our audit findings. The Chairperson of the Board raised the issue of the board-to-board UIF, was some of these challenges arises with PLC. We have held a board-to-board meeting last week with PLC, and the following issues were discussed and agreed. The first thing, Chair, was that we need to acknowledge that within PLC there was what the UIF board calls an elephant in the room, which is the PLC Commission. Because we said to PLC, whatever you do, make sure that the recommendations arising from the PLC Commission, you come back, not only discuss them with them, but we are going to make sure that we implement them jointly. Because we have an interest in making sure that those challenges, never again we are going to see them. So the following issues were brought to our attention. PLC indicated to us that the issue of investment was identified in the commission, because they've had a one-to-one. The issues around governance, which I'm going to deal with, the HR issues, segregation of duties, and communication. Now, in terms of segregation of duties, you recall, Chairperson, that the Chief Executive Officer of PLC will sit in this room without dramatizing issues, sign a document in this office, move next door, the same person, sign the very same document now as the Chief Investment Officer. We said it cannot be correct. Make sure that those issues are addressed, because those issues talk to the government issues, which some of them gave rise to the challenges we have. We are given an assurance that as we speak, they are in the process of employing the Chief Executive Officer. Then from there, once they have the Chief Executive Officer, they'll make sure that the other jobs are also filled, and we were comfortable with that. and we felt that that will give stability insofar as we are concerned with PIC, because we can only invest with PIC. The second issue arose with them was our mandate. At the time when we were intervening on EDCON, we were not seeing eye to eye with PIC because they were not appreciating and understanding our role and our mandate in law, which is in Section 5D of the UI Act, and I think we have agreed, and we went further to agree that we have to have not only a board to board, but a committee to committee, because we've got an investment committee. We have an investment committee also to make sure that we do not have some of the challenges that we have seen in the past. The first issue of discuss with them was the issue of socially responsible investments. We are told, Chairperson, as we know all of us in the room, that jobs are going to be created in the unlisted companies. One of the challenges, which is what gave rise to the audit outcome, was the fact that some of the socially responsible investment companies were not providing annual financial statements on time. And we said, PIC, let's have a conversation, let's call those companies so that we intervene. It cannot be correct because we invest with you and that issue has been taken care of, and we hope by the next financial year we're not going to have that challenge. To the extent, Chairperson, that we have reported that not only are we going to have these board-to-board meetings, but investment committee to investment committee. The second major issue was the staying off and underlying companies. We requested a briefing so far as staying off is concerned, because we said, at which point are we going to count our losses? And the following was tabled, and we were quite comfortable for now. On staying off, we were told that they are in the process of making sure that those directors are declared delinquent directors. They are not allowed anywhere to be directors in their lives. And I think there was also an issue of why was this structure so complicated that her office is in Stellenbosch, one operation is in Germany, the other one is in Holland, and by the nature of the structure, I think it was a bit complicated. Why and how in future do we make sure that we move away from such structures? Because while our investment, I think, was about, we're in the region of 600 million, there were other clients in both public and private sector who lost monies in that institution. And we were also told that they are working with law enforcement agencies like the Financial Sector Conduct Authority to make sure that those directors are debarred and they are declared delinquent directors moving forward. The next issue we discussed with them on similar challenges was IO. I think, Chairperson, we are quite aware, all of us as we sit in this room, that it is now in the public domain that PIC is in the process of liquidating Sele Njalo for IO challenges, etc. Yes, Sele Njalo is defending themselves, but the issue is that we want to make sure that there are consequence management, and where there are losses, we are able to trace those monies and make sure that we get our monies back. We wait for them insofar as that is concerned. Linked to that, Chair, was the issue of VPS. You recall that the two directors who were seconded by PIC into VPS, and later they were found to be illegal beneficiaries of the challenges of VPS. We were told that those were banned already, they've been declared delinquent directors, and that PIC is in the process of a civil action to make sure that we get whatever losses and we follow monies and we make sure that we get our monies back from those directors. The next issue was Osmijuan. With the permission, Chair, PIC is one of the major shareholders of Old Mutual. I think they own about 16% of Old Mutual. We said we can't sit here and not be briefed about the happenings in Old Mutual, because already I think they indicated that millions of rands were lost, and I think if we need a figure, Commissioner can remind me about that. But we were told that they've held a number of meetings with Old Mutual to raise their concern that the noise in Old Mutual is not helping anybody, because shareholders are losing money and it's not in our interest, and we hope that that issue is going to be resolved. We are not saying Jefferson want to get involved in the dispute, but to the extent that it affects us as investors, we said through PLC, make sure that you get involved and the noise is dealt with and we can't have any losses anymore. Those chapters were issues we dealt with PLC, and we are quite confident that once the Commission's report is out, not only we will discuss the report with them, but we'll make sure that in your own right the findings of the report are implemented, and we make sure that we do not experience such activities in the future. Chairperson, I want now to take you to page 25, which is why do we have these recurring findings. In some of the chairperson, as a result of PIC. Some of them are internal, as in DIF, and I think, as I've said earlier on, we have processes in place to address those challenges internally. We have met with PIC to address some of the findings as a result of this, and through the skills audit, etc. Chairperson, because I don't want to repeat the issues raised by the chairperson, I want to conclude by the following.
Before you conclude, which is slide 25, you said something that some of these recurring findings are PIC and some are UIF. I hope I listened to you correctly.
Sure.
Can you be fair to us? Indicate those that are PIC and those that are UIF. Because you have said that.
Yes.
Now I'm trying to understand here. If you can just indicate, I'll make an example.
The example, Chairperson, is that if you look at staff members not appointed in terms of the act, it's an internal one. We'll have to address that, because it means some people were not employed in terms of the rules of the fund. If you look at the consolidations limitation of scope, that's a PIC one as an example. And if you look on incorrectly recorded prepayments, that's an internal systems. But if you move to, with your permission, Chair, to page 16, there are actions there in terms of what is it that therefore we have done in making sure that we address that one. Those are the two examples, but I think other board members can indicate in terms of all of them. But I think that out of the 57, there's only 8 which are recurring. Only 8 which are too much honorable members. We're not saying because there are 8, therefore it's correct to have them. We are working hard to make sure that we move to a situation where we don't have them. Yes, we are not happy, Chairperson, that our financials for the last few years were correct, and today we are in the situation we are in. That's why we have taken all the steps to make sure that it does not happen again. And lastly, Chair, like our sister fund, we are in advisory board. We are not going to complain before this board. We have had a number of engagements with both the former minister and the current minister. Where we have challenges, there's a trail of correspondence. Where we say there's a challenge here, let's address this issue. And so the sixth administration, we have agreed with the minister and the deputy that we're going to have a meeting where we engage on all of these issues so that we are able to carry out our fiduciary duties without any challenges. The chairperson of the board yesterday was asking me a question whether or not we have a right as a board to sit and say we want to seek a legal advice. In terms of the act as it stands, I said I'm not too sure. But I think the processes as they are, the actions we have taken, is an attempt, Chairperson, to make sure that we don't go back to where, insofar as this financial year is concerned, that we want to take this fund to where it was previously. Chair, I think that's what I was asked to present, and I think Chairperson with the board members, there might be only two issues I've not explained properly, and I think I will hand back to you, Chairperson. Thank you.
We'll pardon you for now, because we understand maybe it has been quite a long time that you have been called to a portfolio committee. Some of the mistakes that you have made, you have referred us to page 5. Where there's nothing, page 16, page 16, there is nothing that you are, it's only government. So that's why I'm saying we'll pardon you. And some of the issues on recurring findings, please, should I say, demarcate them, is that the correct term? Appropriate language, because we are not familiar. Yes. So that's why I'm saying we'll pardon you. We'll understand that you are. Can we? We're then going to break for lunch, and then come back. What's the time now? 1:20. If we can be here by 2:30, that will be fine, or earlier if people do manage that, so that we are then. But as you are then breaking for lunch, understand that it's a working lunch. You are also. I'm sorry. We'll come back. How would you prefer? Do you want to pose questions, and then when they come back after lunch, they respond. Honourable members, sorry for that. Should we ask questions now, and then after that, after lunch they respond? Honourable members, or you are giving it to me to decide which way? There's a decision. Questions, honourable members, the decision must be there. We'll ask questions, break for lunch, come back, they respond. That was the decision, eh? Yes. That was the decision. Are you ready for questions? You're not ready for questions. Let's break for lunch, come back, ask questions, they respond, and that's that. Thank you very much. We'll see whether at 8:30. Ukubani dlaphi ke, that's not for me.
Thank you.